Hello, welcome to our Youth Sunday worship stream. I'm Pastor Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, where we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that he shares with us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by the power of his Spirit. You are welcome to today's worship stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to send them to us, and we will pray with and for you. The address to send your prayer request is on the screen. If you have any comments, we would love to hear from you on those as well. As I mentioned, it is our Youth Sunday, and each first Sunday of the month, we tend to dedicate to place special focus on our young people. And so our young people are going to be involved in worship today, as you will see. It is also Black History Month, a month dedicated to reminding ourselves of the contributions and of the journey of Black people here in America. That journey includes the painful and traumatic things the Black people have suffered through slavery, segregation, and the continuing dehumanizing and depersonalizing attitudes that some have just on the basis of skin color. This month, Black History Month, also reminds us how far we have come as a people, as a nation. And it is an opportunity, especially for the Church of Jesus Christ Universal, to use it to model the unity in Christ, the reconciliation that we have in Jesus, the opportunity to look at each other with the respect and dignity that God gives to each of us, the value that he places on us as a result of his love for us, and to model the same in how we speak with one another, how we behave and interact with one another in our various spheres of influence. As a church here at Grace Communion Richardson, I will be using the opportunity to learn, to discuss, to reaffirm the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus, our diversity in him, our reconciliation in him, and our unity in him, as well as the common shared destiny that we have in him as human beings. Now, last time I shared with you the truth that we are all called to mission by Jesus, to be part of his life and mission of love. In today's message, I would like to discuss with you, share with you the truth that loving relationships with God, through Christ, by his Spirit, and with one another is the main thing of life. It is what Jesus is about. And we'll look at that in some detail in today's message. Now, speaking primarily to Grace Communion Richardson members, I just want to pause to say thank you for your heartfelt, generous donations towards the gospel work, the gospel effort, and also thank you to those who support and are walking alongside us in this effort. For those of you out there, if you are moved and want to share in this journey with us, we appreciate your financial donations as well. We appreciate your prayers. You can see on the screen some of the ways that you can make a financial donation. Financial donations are tax deductible, and we are grateful to you. God bless. Now I would like to invite you to a praise song from our praise team, and also to scripture reading, and then I'll come back for the message for today. Please stay with us.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Now let's begin with prayer before we get into the main message. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for the incredible love that you are and that you share with us through Jesus Christ and your Spirit. Thank you that you are a relational being. As you, Father, Son, and Spirit, are in relationship, you've blessed humans to share in that love relationship. It's part of how we are made in your image. So thank you, Lord, that we can share relationship not only with you, but with one another. No matter what background we come from, no matter where we are in life, no matter what circumstances that we are in, we can share love relationships. And that include people who are not like us, and that include our young people. So thank you for reminding us of that today. And I thank you in the name of the one who makes it all possible, that you open our hearts and our minds to receive what you give to us today, to your honor and to your glory, I pray. Amen. Are you finding ways to accept and love that young person in your life? You may be a parent or grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, a brother or a sister, or just a neighbor or a teacher or someone who has a young person or more than one in your life. Maybe you are a big brother figure or a father figure or a mother figure. Are you finding ways to accept and love that young person or persons in your life? What about that person who does not look like you? You see, friend, it is all about relationships, loving relationships. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is a relational being. And he gives us the gift of loving relationships with him and with others. The promised destiny of all humanity, which is eternal life, is in knowing God in love relationship through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. That's what eternal life is about. It's a life of knowing, a life of love relationship that goes on, that grows, that never stops. Now, this love relationship is not meant just between us and God, but it is also meant to exist with one another. Because we're all in this together. That is God's intention for making us, for bringing us into being on this earth, that we may enjoy the love relationship that exists in the Trinity with Father, Son, and Spirit, and with each other for all eternity. And of course, that include our young people. And that include other people who do not look like us, who are also made in the image of God. And that, my friend, is the main thing of life, so far as God is concerned. If you're looking for a title for this message, it is simply this: the main thing, loving relationships. That's really, after everything is said and done, what life is primarily about. Of course, there are other things that we do in life, but they all are meant to facilitate loving relationships. That's God's intention for us. That's God's best life for us. Loving relationship as defined by Him in Christ Jesus and by His Spirit. Now, there is a song, I've forgotten who made this song, but it goes something like this, and I'm paraphrasing the lyrics. It says, I do not know much about history. I don't know much about biology. All I know is that I love you, and if you love me too, oh, what a wonderful world it would be. Something like that. Now, they got it right in the sense that what matters is relationships. Again, you probably heard the statement, at death's door, what matters is who loves you and who you love. At death's door, that's really what matters, isn't it? It's not what you've accumulated in life, but what your relationships are like. God's love is relational and confers value. That's important for us to understand. The love of God is what gives us value. He made us for love, and as a result, we have value to God. And because we are valuable in the eyes of God, to the extent that He sent His Son to die and rise again on our behalf for us to redeem us, then we also need to remember that the person next to us, the person in front of us, also has value so far as God is concerned. So it is not about doing whatever you want so long as it makes you feel good. That's not what love is about. That's not what loving relationships are about. God's relational value, God's relational love defines how we relate to Him and others. Jesus says we will be known or identified as His disciples if we love one another as He loves us. And so we want to love the way that God made us and intended for us to love. Of course, it's very popular these days for a certain philosophy to be promoted, and that philosophy is, well, if it makes you feel good, then what's wrong with that? And sometimes they go a bit further and say, well, if it doesn't hurt anybody, what's wrong with that? And they forget that there is a difference between hurt and harm. There are some things that may not hurt someone, but harms them. There are some things that may not hurt someone, but harms you, the person who is involved in it. And so God shows us how to engage in love relationships that is at His level, what we call the divine love, the agape love. And Jesus says that by this shall all know, in John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, by this shall all know that you are my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. And He called that what? A new commandment. A new commandment. And he also said, when he was asked by a lawyer, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus responded that the greatest commandment is to love God with everything, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, so to speak. And then he says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the greatest command in all of the law, and the scriptures are based on this. The law and the prophets are all hanging on this great command. And of course, love your neighbor as yourself, as you've just seen, Jesus ups the ante and says, well, you don't even stop at how you love yourself, because you don't really even know how to love yourself. I am the standard of love. A new command I give you, love as I love. Because Jesus, friend, is love. He is the definition of love. What he stands for, what he instructs and commands, is what defines love. And this love, friend, that we share as a result of God pouring it in our hearts through his Spirit, we share not only with God, but we share with one another, including those who are not like us, and including those, our young people, who are growing up and who are also in this life with us, learning how to live this life of love relationships with us. So do you meet people where they are? Do our young people know that we love them, that we accept them, that they have value in the eyes of God, and that they have value in our eyes? Last time we shared a video clip of a prayer of blessing on our young people and their mentors. And I want to share that video again with you today. It is a blessing on our young people and on mentors, such as any adult, as I began this message, who has a young person in their life and who are loving and accepting that young person in their life. Let's watch this brief video clip, and I'll be right back.
Dear Almighty God in heaven, we come before you today asking a special blessing on the children that you've entrusted in our care, for the children of Grace Communion Richardson and the community surrounding our church. I pray for the health and safety of these children and the health and safety of their families. I pray that each child is surrounded by your full armor, that they are able to avoid danger in any form. I pray that each child is able to put aside their fear and worry so that they may fully enjoy the rest of the school year. I pray for the parents who are home worrying. I pray that they put their trust in you to protect their children. Be with each and every child, not just our community, but in the nation and in the world. They're so precious. And just bless each of them in their lives and in their struggles.
And dear God, we ask a very special blessing over the teachers, the staff, and the administration, that they can cope with and handle all that they have to deal with in this new age of teaching, that they can work with the children that they have in classes, and that they can work with the children that are on Zoom and with all the technology that they have to deal with. Give them an extra portion of your love and your guidance during the rest of this school year. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen.
So, I really find that inspiring. You see, we love young people and want the best for them. And any good parent, any good adult who want the best for their young person, obviously want their young person to even have a better shaking life, so to speak, than they did. And one of the ways that young people can have a great life is that they seek and enjoy an amazing love relationship with Jesus and with others around them. Of course, young people are keenly, acutely aware of and interested in relationships. And that is why peer pressure is such a big thing in the life of a young person. When a young person believes that they are accepted and loved, that they have value, that there are others in their lives who care for them, that is an amazing thing. It does a lot for that person's sense of self, a lot for that person's confidence, a lot for that person's attitude, a lot for that young person's outlook on their future and on their lives. And that is true also of people that we meet who may be different from us. And I'm using this term of, you know, people who are different and how we relate to them deliberately, because we do meet people who are different from us. And during this month of Black History Month, and as we talk about diversity and reconciliation, it is important for us to be intentional about recognizing how we interact with others. Not just others who are in our love circle, so to speak, in the sense that they are part of who we are, but also others who may not be like us and who may not be part of our family or circle of friends. How do we relate to such people? Are we relating to one another and such people with the love of Jesus Christ? Now, the first great principle of engaging in any meaningful loving relationship in line with Jesus and his gospel is to meet people where they are. That's the first great principle. And what does that mean? Let me repeat that. The first great principle, assuming that you are in a love relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit, the first great principle of the gospel and of what Jesus stands for in relationship to others is to meet them where they are, to meet other people where they are. That does not mean, however, that we want people to remain where they are, but rather we want them to have the very best of life in Jesus that God wants them to have. And this great principle is not always easy to follow, to say the least. Even with our young people, even with our children, those of us who have children. You know, I need to be reminded all the time to meet our daughters in the circumstances where they are first, and then move from there in wisdom. What does it mean to meet people where they are? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a great example of how to do so. And in giving us this example, he emphasizes the truth that love relationships is the main thing of life. Remember, that's what we're talking about. The main thing is loving relationships. Now, how many cars you're able to have, how many big houses you own or do not own, not how powerful you are in terms of politics or any of the things that as human beings we place a lot of emphasis on. What is most important in life, so far as God is concerned for you and for me, is our love relationships with Him and with each other, with others, even those who do not look like us. And Paul talks about this by showing an example of how to meet people in this kind of relationship where they are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he gives us this example, beginning from verse 16. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The Apostle Paul began that chapter by insisting that he was no different from the other apostles in the sense that he had rights as much as they do. And when we talk about the main thing in life being loving relationships, we contrast that with this notion of rights. And we contrast that with rituals, right? We have certain rituals, you know, that we all have, either as individuals or as churches or as nations. We have rituals, we have traditions and so on. And sometimes we elevate these rites and these rituals and traditions over loving relationships. And that's a no-no. And so Paul started by talking about the fact that he had rights as an apostle like Peter and or the other apostles. He, you know, had the right to also be supported by the church financially, even though he was not exercising that right. And then he goes on to share his philosophy, his understanding of relationships being the main thing, so that he's willing to forego rites and he's willing to forego rituals and tradition in order to meet people where they are for the purpose of the gospel, which is the good news about God's love relationship with us, for us, through Jesus Christ. And so in verse 16, breaking into his thought here, he goes on to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me." Verse 18, "What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel." So Paul considered the privilege of freely sharing the gospel, the good news of love relationship that God extends to us through his son, Jesus Christ, as his reward. He feels privileged to be involved in that, and that is reward enough for him. It's what he is saying. And the good news, as you all know, is perfectly summed up in the golden verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that he might save. That's verse 17 of that passage. And that is true for all of us, including our young people. And that is true for all of us, including the person who does not look like me or you. And then in verse 19, Paul begins to say this: though I am free and belong to no one, in other words, I have autonomy, I have free moral agency, right? I'm not owned by anybody, but I don't exercise that frame of thinking. He goes on to say, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And that basically means Paul is saying, though I have the freedom of choice, the free moral agency to do whatever I want, I don't do so. However, I engage people. I humble myself in a way that engages people for the sake of the gospel, that engages people for love relationships, he says. Verse 20, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Verse 23, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. What is Paul saying here? Well, Paul is saying a number of things. Well, first he says he sees himself as duty bound to be involved in the mission and life of love of Jesus. He's so duty bound, the issue of voluntariness or duty is of no meaning so far as he was concerned, because he is compelled to do it, is what he started by saying. He's compelled. And what's compelling him is the love of God and the privilege of engaging in Christ in his mission and life of love. Then he goes on to say, I meet people where they are. I meet Jews where they are. I first understand where they are as Jews. I meet people who are under the law where they are. I understand, first of all, I seek to understand where they are under the law as they see themselves, even though I myself, I do not consider myself under the law. I see those who have no law where they are. He goes on. So point that Paul is making is that he meets people where they are. And he does so, friend, as you will notice in the way he describes it, without losing his own standards and principles, without becoming diluted. Paul is not describing being a chameleon or a hypocrite, pleasing everybody or seeking to please everybody in the sense that some people try to do. No. What he's saying here, friend, is that he sought to understand people where they are coming from. He met them where they are in life he understood, he first sought to understand where a person is so that he can then properly engage that person. Another way of putting it, for those who are academically minded, is that Paul sought to answer questions that are on the table. He did not create his own questions in order to answer them. He did not put up a, what is the word that is used, you know, a piñata that he beat at. He first sought to understand what the issues are with an individual that he seeks to enter into a relationship with. He tried to understand that person, whether they were a Jew, whether they are under the law, whether they are not under the law, whether they are weak. He sought to understand what is going on in their lives. And this seeking to understand where these individuals are, he described as what? Let me read how he describes it. He says, I became like one. I became like one is his way of saying, I walked a bit in their shoes. I learned where they were coming from. I learned how they came to be where they are. And then I'm able to then point them to Jesus. I'm able to then include them in the gospel message. I'm able to enlighten them that they are part and parcel of God's love and God's relationship and the gospel. That they are included, that they are wanted, that they are accepted, that they are loved, that they have value no matter what background it is that they are coming from. That's Paul saying relationships are the main thing. Relationships are the main thing. So Paul saw himself as duty-bound as part of his reason for being to share the gospel. The reason for his being alive, the reason for being who he is as Paul, was to share the gospel. The good news of God's love and invitation to share life and relationship with him through Jesus and by his Spirit with all people. He saw his reward as the opportunity to participate in Jesus and doing so freely. It's an amazing spirit and attitude Paul had. No wonder he went through all he did with the attitude that he did. So Paul voluntarily let go of himself, his rights, his comfort, etc., in exchange for Jesus' life, Jesus' identity, and Jesus' mission in order to meet others where they are. He followed Jesus' example to meet us where we are as sinners. Jesus came into our mess. And Paul, with these passages, is saying, I tried to do the same. To the Jew, I became like a Jew. I walked in their shoes, in their moccasins, so to speak. Jesus became us. God became flesh. That's the first principle, friend, of loving relationships, meeting people where they are. It's not easy. We want to meet our young people where they are. That means we want to be able to understand what is going on with our young people. We want to be able to value what it is that they are going through. That means we want to listen. That means we want to be open-minded. And again, listening and being open-minded does not mean that you jettison, you throw away truth, love, and grace. No. Part of truth and love and grace is engaging in that way with people and loving them too much to leave them where they are if they are without Jesus Christ's love, Jesus Christ's truth in grace, pointing them to him as the one who has the answers and solutions to all of life's issues. That's what Paul is saying here in this passage. He met people where they are without losing himself, without losing who he is in Christ and what he stands for. He did this for the sake of the gospel, the good news of eternal life, of love relationships in Christ given to us by God. And he did this by letting go of his own rites and his rituals and traditions. Oh, I've always done it this way, so I don't care what this person thinks. No, that's not being in someone's shoes calls for. And so he jettisons that. So we are invited, friends, to do the same with one another and with our young people, with others who may be different from us. We are invited to do the same as Jesus did and as Paul did, because relationships are what is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. I'm not going to read that because I want you to spend some time on it on your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and then verse 13. Some of you are very familiar with this passage. It's called the love chapter in the scriptures. It describes what love is, the love of God, what it is, the relational love of God, what it is. And Paul describes this as the main thing. You may have all knowledge. If you don't have love, then it's nothing. Loving relationships, friend, are the main thing. That's the main thing in life. So what are your relationships like? God's love and relational being is shared with us, and that is the main thing, as we share it with one another. All other things pale into insignificance. Life is about love relationships. And what a blessing that is. We are made for it. Our hearts long for it. We have empty spaces for it. In the various ways that relationships enrich our lives, God gave relationships in his love as a gift for us to share. So what about you, friend? What is the main thing in your life? Whether you're an adult or a young person, is it your rites, your rituals or traditions, material things, or loving relationships? I'm not saying all the other things do not have some value at some point or another, but all these other things are supposed to facilitate loving relationships. I pray it is loving relationships that propels your life. Join others on that road. It is a road of eternal life, after all, in Jesus Christ. Amen. I look forward to seeing you next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known in loving relationships of hope and of faith, through worship, through family fellowship, through neighborhood engagements, all through the power of the Spirit. Let's conclude with a song from our praise team. And by God's grace, I'll see you next time. God bless. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.